and it is sealed to us. And that's what we were talking about, what Paul was talking about a while ago. He said this sealing, when we hear the gospel and believe it, and it's sealed to us, which is the earnest of our inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. Well, then, this righteousness of Christ, this righteousness of God, which is in Christ, is not only ours legally before the throne of God in the judgment day, but it's ours to experience and to have for our very own, which he's going to get into here. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, for us to have peace and favor with God, to feel it for our own, is through this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, ministered unto us by the Spirit of God. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us have called us to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so he is saying here that the Lord's people, after being quickened by the Spirit of God and being his, when we hear of the righteousness of Christ through the gospel that is ours, and then the Lord, I think, refers to this as being converted, which is something different than being born of the Spirit of God. To be converted is to being delivered from ignorance into the truth of God, as the Lord told the woman there at the well. She said that their tradition was to come there to that mountain that they could see from the well and to worship. But she knew that the Jews said that you were supposed to go up to Jerusalem to worship. The Jews went up to Jerusalem and the Samaritans went up to this mountain to worship. And the Lord, of course, told her, he said, well, said, you worship you know not what. And I think that he was not only talking about the Samaritan woman, but he was talking about the rest of the world in general. Because in generally, every people and everywhere worship something. They have some kind of religious rite, a ritual that they go through. Even the natives in the Amazon River. And they're worshiping, but when it's compared to the truth, they don't know, they're not worshiping, they don't even know what. And the Lord says, for salvation, he told the woman Samaritan, said, you worship, you know not what. But salvation is of the Jews. And of course, what that is saying is that God chose the Jewish nation, in which the Messiah, who would come to redeem his people in every tongue and tribe and nation in the world, he would be born of the Jewish, in the Jewish race. And so salvation was of the Jews in that sense. And of course he had, as a precursor to the Lord coming into the world, he had 1,500 years before that, or 2,000 years, chose Abraham and revealed to him a portion of this truth of the gospel. And the only way that he, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and anybody else would have ever known it is that God showed it to him or revealed it to him. If he hadn't done it, he never would have known it. We'd have been just as ignorant as anybody else. So it's by lot, it's by the choice of God that Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's not because we chose to believe and we chose Christ and we chose to do this. It's true that we have a certain amount of freedom in the service of the Lord. We could have stayed home today and not come up here to worship. And we have that kind of a choice. But the taking of eternal life and spiritual life is not our choice to take or to lay down. It's a gift of God, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. I mean, that's the very words of Christ himself. He said, the hour is come, and there is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he says, as the Father hath life in himself, also he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and to him whomsoever he will. And so the idea that salvation is dependent upon man is ridiculous when you, if you know the scriptures and really believe them, what the Lord has recorded about them. And so then, grace and peace to be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are made a separate people from the rest of the world. It's impossible to be born of the Spirit of God and then have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done, that he was born in this world of a virgin and lived in this world for 33 and a half years without sin and bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might have eternal life, that we might be redeemed from our sins and our iniquities and stand justified before God one day as though we had never sinned, and have any charge laid against us. To have that knowledge is to separate you and believe it. To have that knowledge and believe it in the soul, to have the ability to believe it and to have it as your own. There's no way you can be like any other people in the world. And it causes you to want to be a pious person, a better person. It makes you more sympathetic to other persons. It makes you be like the Samaritan that saw the man that had been robbed and laid by the roadside. The Levite and the priest came by, you know, and they took a look at him, and they walked off and left him. And they come over there and they saw him. He'd been robbed and beaten and laying there half dead, and they just walked right on by and didn't do a thing for him. But this poor Samaritan come by, and he went down and he poured in the oil and the wine, and he bound him up and took him to the inn and fixed him up. And I believe that's the way that people that's had, that's a prime example of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He found us dead in trespasses and sins, and not only dead, but as far as any ability to do anything, we were wounded beyond doing anything, and sick to where we needed a physician. And he came and he quickened us from a dead state of sin. And by the knowledge of the gospel, it's like pouring in wine and oil to heal us and to give us strength and to put us back on our own feet again, that we might be worshipers of God and go along the way and help somebody else that's fallen in the ditch and needs some help. And so through the knowledge of God, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. And so this this glory that we've been called to is the glory that that we live in hope of. That's our hope, that we will receive a glorified body that the Lord Jesus has for us. Paul says that though this body be the case that we have a body in heaven, whereby, likened to our Lord Jesus Christ, this vile body shall be changed likened to his glorious body. And so the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in his, that is the answer to his prayer in the 17th chapter of John, when he said, the glory that thou hast given me, we pray that thou will give unto them also, that they may be where I am. In order for us to be where he is, we would have to have a glory similar unto his, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, it could not live in that type of a glory. It's just not constituted for that kind of a life. And so we have to have a glorified body. It will be this body, but it will be a glorified body. It'll be the same body, yet it'll be changed. And that's a great mystery, Paul says, that I show you a great mystery. And he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And those that are dead and in the ground, they will come forth changed with a glorified body. It'll be the same body that'll come out of the grave, but it will be a glorified body. And he goes on and says, there is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So this spiritual body is said to be a glorified body. And I've had some pretty stout debates about just what that is. Some people seem to think that it's just going to be a spirit. It's just going to be more like a spirit than a body. But that wouldn't be a body. It's going to be this body, but it's going to be a glorified body. And it will, there is a spiritual body. In the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, it's called the resurrection chapter. You can read it when you go home. And the Apostle Paul talks about this, and he said, you put a corn of wheat in the ground, and it dies, and it comes up. And he said, but what you plant, something entirely different comes up. In that kernel of corn, or it might be a kernel of a grain of wheat, it might be a black-eyed peas, a snap beans, an apple tree, apple seed. I mean, but God has given it a body as it has pleased him, he says. And so this body is likened unto a seed, but out of it will come a glorified body. Doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but when we see him, we shall be as he is, the scripture says. So the Lord Jesus so graciously on the figure Mount of Transfiguration transfigured himself before Peter, James, and John so they could be witnesses to this. And after he was transfigured, Enoch and Elijah, two of God's saints that had been dead for hundreds of years, appeared beside him in that glorified body. So we have eyewitnesses by Peter, James, and John of this transfiguration that took place. They looked at it, and it said that they were to witness to this. And Peter says, we're not telling you about cunningly devised fables. We're telling you something we saw with our own eyes. So one day that same thing has taken place throughout this earth, and God's people that he has redeemed with his own blood will come forth with a glorified body, transfigured just like they were that day. And we don't know way we can conceive what that will be like until that time comes. But we have faith, which is a precious gift of God. The precious faith, Apostle Paul, Peter says in another place, here he says, who have obtained like precious faith, and it is indeed precious that we believe this and are able to believe it. And you think of the multitudes that don't believe it and that believe in salvation by works. The men that tore down the World Trade Center 4 years ago today, they hated us. And one reason that they hate us is because they say that we are a decadent society. The idea that women can walk around not dressed in robes down to their feet and their heads covered with veils and so forth is a form of decadence to them. And their holiness is sensual and fleshly, according to the Apostle Paul. Their idea of being of going to heaven is by works, the works of righteousness which they have done. And it's the same thing. It's closely related to the Pharisaical religion that the Pharisees had in their day. They loved to walk around in long robes and say long prayers in public places. And the Apostle Paul looked at them and he said, outwardly, you're like a whited sepulcher. You've painted the sepulcher white and it looks clean, but inside it's full of dead men's bones. And that's what this religion is, that would kill innocent women and children and people that have no idea what these people want and believe, just out of the blue come by and kill thousands of people. And how thankful I am that I don't serve a religion and a God that teaches that sort of a thing. And that's the religion of the world. That's the religion of man. And Paul Apostle John said it's sensual, having not the Spirit. And it's no wonder the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and all the apostles said, they time and time again said, I thank God for the grace and the peace that's delivered you from that kind of religion to a religion that moves the soul and quickens the mind and the heart to give you a sensitivity to life and to peace and joy and things of God, to be more like Him and to have a mind that would peace. It says, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of Him. It's through the knowledge of Christ our Savior and God the Father that chose us and God the Holy Spirit that quickened us and that witnesses these things to us. And this knowledge makes us better citizens. It makes us better people. It makes us aware of ignorance and of false religion and of falsehoods. It's able, we can see clearly the things that are not true. Whereas people that do not, are not blessed with this knowledge and this ability to see, we see what they do and how they blindly kill themselves and kill other people in the name of God. And that's the difference. I mean, that's an extreme difference, but yet we see it. And to have this divine nature and of things that pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and to virtue. And so we're not only called to a glory, but to virtue. And this virtue is this thing that's that's likened to godliness, to love honesty and to love truth and to love peace and to have compassion on the ignorant and them that's out of the way. And oh, what a blessing is Christianity unto the world. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its savior, said it's ready to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And so to be alive in Christ and to have His Spirit in us is a wonderful blessing beyond compare. You know, there's an old saying that familiarity breeds conceit. And we get so accustomed to hearing this or believing this that we just think it's ordinary, that it's just the order of the day to be a Christian or to have faith or to believe these things. But beloved, it's no ordinary everyday thing. It's a precious gift of God. You have received it by lot. God has, by His own choice, has given this unto you. And if He hadn't done it, you wouldn't have it. It's not a matter of just you deciding to have it and accepting it, but it was given to us by lot. And the Lord, the God the Father, before the foundation of the world, determined to have a people, and he gave them to Christ, and Christ redeemed us, and has redeemed us unto him and to his God, he says. And he's going to present us to him one day. He's going to say, Father, here am I and the children thou hast given thee. And he's not going to lose one of them. And he says, not a one of them is lost except Judas. And he said, only this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And Judas went to his own place. And you can figure out where that is. I think I know where it is. And Paul said he was referred to him as being wicked. And said he was a devil. And so the very the very thought that to have this, the knowledge of Christ, says we have whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature. And this great and precious promises tells us of that which the Lord has in store for us. And in the meantime, he promised us. He said, now I'm going to go away. You read the 14th to 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, and he says, now where I'm going, you cannot come now, but ye can come later. But now, he said, as he prayed in the 17th chapter of John, he said, Father, I pray, says, these have believed the words that thou hast given me, and I pray for them and for them that shall believe their words after them about me. And he said, I pray that thou shouldst not take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And beloved, the Lord Jesus' prayer is always heard, and it'll be kept. The Lord is able to keep his own from the evil in this world. That don't mean that we're perfect and that we're without sin, as some people want to preach. It means that we're just poor sinners saved by the grace of God, and we have a nature that yet sins and wants to sin, and we have a divine life that cannot sin, that's always fighting this other nature that's both in the same body. And the Lord is able, by his divine power, to give us the leadership of his Spirit to keep us from being overcome by this Adamic nature, this sinful nature, that we will overcome in this life. Apostle John says, and who is he that gets the victory over the world? Even our faith. And so by the gift of God, this faith, Peter says, is the power of God. Says, who are saved by grace through faith, which is the power of God unto salvation, that is reserved for you in heaven, and that fadeth not away. And so this faith is the power of God in us. In other words, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Beloved, if Christ is in us, as the scripture says, who can defeat him? Who can overcome Christ? Who could possibly defeat his purpose and his will? It just would be impossible. And so Christ in us is the hope of glory. And this is a precious gospel that the apostles had to give to us. It was revealed to them, and it's given for our learning and welfare. And as we are increased in knowledge of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are better, live in a better, livelier hope of the glory that is yet to come, and to live in the virtue of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is within us here in this world, that we might be witnesses of his mercy and grace. He said, ye are my witnesses. And sometimes I think I'm a very poor witness. And and I know that, I know I am. And I think about the saying, I don't know where it come from, but I think it's so appropriate. And it says, Lord, I know I'm not what I should be, and I'm not what I could be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And isn't that wonderful? I know I could be better. I could and I should. But one thing I do know, I'm not what I used to be. And that's because of the grace of God. And it's wonderful indeed to have such faith, saving faith in this world. All by the gift of God and all because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. May God add his blessings to his precious word is our prayer. What shall we sing, brethren?
Number 41.
We strike the glad hands of fellowship as we sing. Doors of the church are published open. And one or more here wants to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. Sing when you're ready.
How in thy praise
eternal, O King,
be all my thoughts employed, while love this precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroyed.
Thank you.
would suggest the Lord Jesus. Those kind of questions to the faith of God, and those gracious Lord Jesus Christ, who has sent to the heavens, set that at his right hand, the Majesty on high, who gave you all things to the church. Now, we don't believe. We have to be in trust by the best of spirit. Thank you. Praise you for that wonderful gift. Blessings. But not so much. Lord, we